Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, blessed to be here with my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. And what a blessing it is to have you with us here today as well as we close out Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. This past Thursday, July 25th, commemorated the 51st anniversary of the release of Pope St. Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae, a document that reaffirmed the constant teaching of the Catholic Church on married love and the rejection of contraception. Pope St. Paul VI reiterated, both to the Church and to the world, the fact that marital relations constitutes this beautiful union between the spouses and Almighty God, whereby a new human person can be created. Right out of the gate, in this encyclical, Pope St. Paul VI stated that the transmission of human life is a most serious role in which married couples collaborate freely and responsibly with God the Creator in a divine partnership. So beautiful. Well, we've got with us today Creighton Model Fertility Care Practitioner Marilyn Haywood, who was first with us on Pro-Life to the Max last November. She's back with us to discuss NFP Week, Humanae Vitae, and how fertility awareness methods are helping couples to live out the Church's teachings and build happy, holy marriages. But as always, first things first, Rhonda's going to start us off in prayer.
This prayer comes from Archbishop Cordiglione of the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Almighty and all-loving God, in the beginning you created them, male and female, as a sign of the covenant with your people, the covenant which you would later seal with the most precious blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sublime gift that is the life-giving, one-flesh union of husband and wife, and we ask you for the grace always to cherish, revere, and foster it as you intended, the foundational good of human society and the icon of the union between Christ and His Church. As we celebrate these 51 years of the encyclical Humanae Vitae's articulation of the Church's timeless teaching, help us to be wise, bold, and charitable messengers of this good news so that a culture of love, life, and marriage may flourish in our land. Open the minds and hearts of those far away from this truth, heal those harmed by its rejection, and strengthen those committed to living it out and inspiring others to do the same. By means of this grace, grant us peace with one another and happiness with you now in this life, and to know its perfect fulfillment forever in the life that is to come. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, head and bridegroom of the Church, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Pope St. Paul VI,
pray for us.
And now this week's in the news.
Pro-life leaders throughout the country are calling the recent and unexpected firing of Planned Parenthood CEO Dr. Leanna Wen an expose into the real mission and priorities of the nation's largest abortion provider. A New York Times piece reporting on the ousting of Wen noted that Wen had little in common with her predecessor, Cecile Richards, and that, quote, Planned Parenthood's leaders felt they needed a more politically invested advocate in the battle over abortion access, close quote. Wen began to face pushback within the organization when she proposed that affiliates broaden their approach to healthcare and begin adding services like mental health and substance abuse resources. The decision to hire Dr. Wen, the Times said, underscored one of Planned Parenthood's central tensions. Is it a political organization or a health organization first? Wen's dismissal, pro-life leaders say, seems to have answered that question. And the same governor that lent his signature earlier this year to the ghastly New York Reproductive Health Act that permits an unborn baby to be killed up to the moment of birth has now also inked his name to a law that makes it a crime to surgically remove a cat's claws. This past Monday, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation making New York the first state to ban cat declawing. Declawing is a cruel and painful procedure that can create physical and behavioral problems for helpless animals. And today it stops, Governor Cuomo stated. By banning this archaic practice, we will ensure that animals are no longer subjected to these inhumane and unnecessary procedures. Cuomo, who identifies himself as a Catholic, has made no mention of the cruel and painful procedure that unborn babies face when they are ripped apart in their mother's wombs by abortion. And this past Tuesday evening, the Monroe County Council approved taxpayer funding for 36 organizations who were seeking grants for their work. The list included Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky, as well as All Options Pregnancy Resource Center. Opponents to the funding of Planned Parenthood and All Options were on hand Tuesday evening to voice their concerns over taxpayer money going to organizations that either support or perform abortions. The council allowed time for public comments to be made before the vote, and several pro-lifers stepped up to share their grave concerns. One lone council member, Marty Hawk, did vote no to the funding, which gave Planned Parenthood $5,300 and All Options $3,900. Well over 5,500 unborn children were killed last year by Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky. All Options, a pregnancy resource center that touts itself as being non-judgmental by giving pregnant women all their options, including abortion, runs the Hoosier Abortion Fund. The endowment distributes money to women so that they can either pay for an abortion here in Indiana or be sent to another state for a late-term abortion. And finally, an estimated 18 children were killed within their mother's wombs this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Several women from Kentucky, one from Clarksville, Tennessee, and many others from various Hoosier counties came to 421 South College Avenue seeking to end the life of their unborn child. As with every Thursday, sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day long to offer help, love, and hope to the women and couples going in. Pro-lifers were optimistic that one couple who came up from Kentucky did end up choosing life as they left after only being inside Planned Parenthood for about 20 to 30 minutes. Advocates had previously spoken with the couple and had encouraged them to choose life for their baby. And that's your weekly in the news. Rhonda, we've devoted several shows on the subject of the glorious God-given gift of human sexuality and the harmful and devastating effects that have come from man's attempt to hijack God's plan for what is to be a most sacred and selfless act of love between a married couple. Pope St. Paul VI is called a prophet because in his 1968 encyclical Humanae Vitae, he listed four grave consequences that would come about if contraception became widely accepted, and they've all come to pass. First, he said there'd be a general lowering of morality, leading to things like divorce, abortion, out-of-wedlock pregnancies, and STDs. Secondly, the pontiff argued that men would lose their respect for women.
Oh, and hell, this is all around us. Just think of the Me Too movement and all the sex trafficking going on.
Yeah, exactly right. Thirdly, the Holy Father believed that the widespread use of contraception would become a dangerous weapon in the hands of those public authorities who take no genuine concern for their citizenry. And we see this prophecy becoming a reality in what can be termed as contraceptive imperialism, as developed nations like the U.S. force third world countries to accept so-called family planning aid as a prerequisite for necessities like food and medicine.
There's also the weighty problem of China's limit on the number of children a couple may have and the forced abortions that have come from that. And what about Obamacare's contraception mandate?
Good one, too. And the final projection, contraception would lead man to think that he had unlimited dominion over his own body. Now, we see this in abortion completely accepted up to the moment of birth, the whole idea that gender is fluid and that there's this wide spectrum as such. We have this whole idea of complete bodily autonomy without limits. All four of these dire predictions have come to pass. So what's the answer to righting this ship and getting back on course?
Well, as with everything, we turn to the church's constant and age-old wisdom and teaching, especially as articulated in Humanae Vitae. And in paragraph number 27 of that encyclical, Pope St. Paul VI issued a call to doctors and nurses to help married couples live out their vocation, always open to the gift of life by the use of natural methods of fertility regulation. To discuss this calling and apostolate, we've got Marilyn Haywood, a Creighton Model fertility care practitioner, with us on the phone. Hi, Marilyn.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, Marilyn, thanks for being with us today. Well, okay, our first question. So the USCCB has designated July 21st through the 27th as Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. So what are your thoughts on this campaign, and how necessary is it to raise awareness about NFP or fertility awareness methods?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that our church sees the value in this.
Yes.
I believe that now more than ever, men and women need to be made aware of NFP. As you all know, at Fatima, Our Lady warned that there would be an attack on the family, and it is occurring right before our eyes as never before. Artificial contraception has made the act of sexual intercourse to be largely about pleasure, and openness to life has taken a back seat. Cohabitation, with or without a marriage commitment, has become the norm and expectation of society, and sexual compatibility, a focus of a relationship instead. So the fertility awareness-based methods, or FABMs as they're called, including the Creighton method, they highlight God's beautiful design of our bodies and the biomarkers that He has given to us to know our fertile window. So these methods, they nurture constraint, respect, delayed gratification, and helps couples to give themselves fully to one another.
Yeah, that's great. So can you tell us, when a couple comes to you, then what are they going to learn in your methodology?
Okay. So as I mentioned last time that you were so gracious to have me on, Creighton can be used by any woman at all phases of her reproductive life, beginning when a young girl goes through puberty all the way through premenopause. So initially we have an introductory session for the woman or the couple, followed by 8 follow-ups over a year period. This might seem like a long time, but it goes by so quickly, and it's necessary for a couple of reasons. A, over this period of time, the woman becomes confident in her charting, and I, as a practitioner, help her to identify any current or potential abnormalities in her cycle. And B, it also allows me to touch on all aspects of Creighton, ethical and moral, so not only in the physical part of charting, but the moral and the psychological aspects and advantages of NFP. We teach something a little bit different than other FABMs in that we have something called SPICE. It's a holistic approach to sexuality, and it stands for spiritual, physical, intellectual, creative, and emotional. Since we humans are multidimensional, the way we relate to one another is too. So helping couples develop in each of these areas of SPICE build stronger and more intimate bonds.
Okay. So what are the moral differences between using contraception or even being intentionally sterilized and using fertility awareness methods?
So hormonal contraceptives works in different ways. Some of them prevent sperm from reaching the egg. Some inactivate or damage the sperm. Some prevents an egg from being released every month. Some alter the lining of the uterus so that a fertilized egg doesn't attach to it. And some thickens the mucus so that sperm can't easily pass through it. So with the fertility awareness methods, a woman is using the signs of her body to fully understand when her fertile window occurs. So charting really is a window to a woman's reproductive system. And by using the FAMs, fertility awareness methods, a couple has an awareness of the mission of their responsible parenthood, but it can be revisited every single month without waiting.
Yeah, so, and then also along with these, some of these contraception, they are abortifacients, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, so that might prevent the egg from attaching to the wall prevent it from being fertilized in the first place.
Yeah, and you know what, another simple question that I always think that asked, like I've heard people ask too, well, if there isn't any difference between NFP and contraception, why don't you just practice NFP, right? Well, yeah, a lot of people So there is, we know there is, there's a lot of big differences because it requires a change in behavior.
Yes.
So how are fertility awareness systems more of a lifestyle rather than a method? And what benefits are there for couples who practice it?
So our motto is, the woman observes, the man supports, and the couple uses. The divorce rate among couples who use NFP is only 5% compared to the average of 50%. And this is because of increased awareness, increased dialogue, increased intimacy. And you know, I always ask people, what is the largest sex organ? And then there's this uncomfortable pause. and the answer is our brains.
Our brains.
And to remember what attracted them to each other. Recall their first date. Recall their wedding day. Mm-hmm. Recall them what attracted them to each other, not just physically, but the whole person, the whole spiritual person.
And it takes a lot of retraining that in our society now that just is such into sex saturation.
Absolutely.
So are you finding more and more couples becoming interested in this method, and is your practice growing?
It sure is. I and my other Creighton practitioners are finding more couples interested in NFP, and my practice is growing. I'm taking on as many couples as I physically can handle,
because
I have many family obligations in addition to my primary part-time nursing position at Franciscan Health Indianapolis. But if I can't take on a new client, I refer them to one of my colleagues. There's always somebody available. Listeners need to know that if there isn't an FCP in their immediate area, practitioners from all over the United States and the world, for that matter, offer long-distance internet learning via Skype, Google Hangouts, or other video conferencing methods. Having said that, there are now about 18 active fertility care practitioners in the central Indiana area. When I began my journey 4 years ago, there were only five.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome.
That is.
And in addition, more parishes are incorporating more in-depth teaching of the church's position on NFP, ART, which is artificial reproductive technology, in their marriage preparation courses. And some are even requiring couples to take at least three classes of NFP in order to ensure they're fully equipped with a substantial knowledge of the methods available and the reason for the church's position.
Yeah, I know the One in Christ program does that.
Exactly.
So I wanted to ask you, Marilyn, why do you promote and teach natural family planning? What drives you?
Gosh, there are really three basic reasons. First of all, I have re-fallen in love with the teaching of Pope Paul VI's Humanae Vitae encyclical, as well as St. John Paul's Theology of the Body and Evangelium Vitae, and the beauty of intimacy within a marriage. And the Creighton model follows the teaching of all of these. Secondly, is a very personal reason. I made some poor choices in my reproductive years that I deeply regret, some out of ignorance, some out of selfishness. I'm 58 years old now, and through Creighton, I love to share the wisdom that I have gained and hope to prevent others from making the same mistakes.
That's
and
so
experiencing,
beautiful.
Yeah. And experiencing the pain of regret that I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful that we have a loving and merciful God in the sacrament of confession.
Yes, absolutely. I know. And God loves to use, you know, to turn Satan on his head and use what he, you know, originally got people to do and just turn it on his head, and then they come back and use everything for his glory and honor, don't they?
Yeah.
So exactly. And that's what I try to do. I know that we're called to evangelize. And then third, two of my three sons experienced infertility in their marriages. And I've seen how NAPRO technology science with companies Creighton benefits those who have gynecological and reproductive abnormalities and struggle with infertility.
Those are some good reasons driving you. Thank you. Yeah.
So this year's NFP awareness theme is Love Naturally. We know there are a lot of supernatural reasons to practice NFP, but there are some great natural reasons and benefits. So can you kind of touch upon those, and can you tie this into how fertility awareness programs are very pro-woman?
Absolutely. So, gosh, have you ever read The Possible Side Effects of the Various Birth Control Methods?
Oh,
it's like one of those commercials, right?
Yes.
Intermenstrual spotting and breakthrough bleeding and nausea and headaches and blood clots and strokes, you know, and on and on and on, increased risk of cancers and infertility. The negative side effects of NFP are none. The positive side effects are so many. Increased awareness of the beautiful design of our bodies, increased autonomy and knowledge of what is actually happening with our bodies. This is true empowerment,
it
right?
It is power, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
So we no longer have to rely only on our physicians, but in knowing our own bodies, we can share it with them, giving them relevancies and signs that we otherwise would have ignored, and thinking they just know it all. And just like women's clothing, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Don't we know that? neither are our bodies. So, you know, how can one pill or IUD or implant be appropriate for all women, whether it's for gynecological abnormalities such as polycystic ovarian syndrome or thyroid disorders or menstrual cramps or irregular periods, or, my goodness, they even prescribe these things for acne.
Acne, yeah.
I attended the HV50 conference last year in California that celebrated the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae, and it piggybacked our annual fertility care professional conference. And I had wonderful presenters, Patrick Coffin, Christopher West, Dr. Hilgers himself, and every single one of the talks celebrated womanhood, not the feminism that's encouraged and celebrated by our society as a whole, but true feminism, which was modeled by our Blessed Mother and created by our God. Women are looking for affirmation of who they are rather than the constant expectation that they should be something other than who they are. So, you know, I think it's time to reclaim what it means to be a true woman, including being pro-man, because without, you know, we wouldn't have one without the other. And one of my favorite things I picked up from that conference was a booklet by Timory Millington entitled True Feminism. And every woman should read it. I purchased copies for all of my high school and college age nieces and my granddaughters even to give them when they're old enough.
And that's called True Feminism?
True Feminism, correct.
Okay, so you're going to be attending the annual meeting of the American Academy of Fertility Care Professionals in Philadelphia. And what are those conferences like, and what kinds of things do you learn from them?
It is just a wonderful gathering of like-minded people who truly are pro-woman and pro-man. Usually about 300 to 500 people are in attendance, depending on the location. Last year, we had 23 countries represented.
Wow, that's great.
And they are nurses, physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, fertility care practitioners. There's even clergy invited, and they all want to proclaim the benefits of Creighton. This year, I looked ahead at the agenda. There's going to be clinical presentations about gynecologic and reproductive abnormalities, including updates on treatments, presentations on adoption as a loving option, adverse effects of pornography and how NFP can help this. There's a report from a missionary from Africa who is teaching Creighton and the benefits of NFP and marriage. And then just there's case presentations for the practical side of the practitioner, as well as moral and ethical dilemmas that we're faced with and how to handle those. So I'm always eager to learn how Creighton enhances a woman's understanding of her body and how the method enhances marriages. And in addition, I love hearing all of the additional benefits of the system psychologically, emotionally, and sociologically.
That sounds like an awesome meeting. Can we go?
Yes, you should.
I know. And hearing all that gives me such hope, because this is precisely what we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Dr. Hilgers said that because Humana Vitae was largely ignored, the world descended into a great depth of spiritual poverty. Do you agree with that? And how important is it then to evangelize and share the good news regarding the church's teaching on human sexuality?
Oh, gosh, I agree wholeheartedly with Dr. Hilgers. He's such a great man and a gift from God. I have attended several talks given by him and met him in person. And recently I discovered about a 23-minute-long YouTube video of Bishop Fulton Sheen entitled Fulton Sheen, Birth Control.
Okay, we're going to have to check that out.
Yes.
So since that time, I've shared it with my clients and friends. It's so powerful and expresses the beauty of openness to life as only Bishop Sheen can, concerning the beauty of God's perfect design of the family. Okay. So I highly recommend all of your listeners to Google this and yourselves, because it is just awesome. And our church was, you know, and Pope Paul VI, they were the first to call upon scientists, lay and religious individuals and medical professionals to study the effects of artificial birth control in the family. So, of course, in Humanae Vitae, the church predicted the widespread use of artificial contraception would create the loss of respect for women, no longer caring for physical and psychological equilibrium, considering her a mere instrument of selfish enjoyment, and then, of course, forced sterilization by public. So, mm-hmm. you know, all of those and more have
come to
fruition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And although the internet and social media can be used for so much good, unfortunately, it's opened Pandora's box to evils as well, of course. The church and its beliefs are being attacked when actually it's the church's teachings that should be embraced and celebrated.
Yeah, because that's the good news.
It is the good news.
It
and I love being, yes, I love being an instrument and being able to proclaim that good news.
Yeah.
And just to help people that, you know, help them to remember that the path to heaven through the sacrament of marriage is what we're called to do, you know, in that covenant. And, you know, if a woman never does marriage, then help her to find that path that God wants for her.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Marilyn Haywood. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on Pro-Life to the Max. And thank you for answering Pope St. Paul VI's call for medical professionals to help married couples live out the church's teaching on the beautiful gift of human sexuality. And we ask God's blessings upon you and your ministry.
Yes. Just thank you so much. I appreciate your exposure to the FABMs and to Creighton in particular, because I think that, as I said, the ethical and the moral perspective that we bring to it, it's more than just, hey, let's just chart. We bring about the God's design right along with the theology of the body and the encyclicals that I think kind of sets us apart. And women don't have to be Catholic. You know, 50% of my clients are not Catholic.
Wow.
So that's awesome.
That is. Well, great. Well, thanks again.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. My pleasure.
Pope St. Paul VI closed Humanae Vitae with these words in regards to the task that lies before faithful Catholics. Great indeed is the work of education, of progress, and of charity to which we now summon all of you. And this we do relying on the unshakable teaching of the Church, which teaching Peter's successor together with his brothers in the Catholic Episcopate faithfully guards and interprets, and we are convinced that this truly great work will bring blessings both on the world and on the church. So as we close out this NFP Awareness Week, let's continue to work and pray for a great renewal of marriage and family life through the observance of the church's teaching on human sexuality. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for being with us. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.